Let me be straight with you. This is a radio commercial for Three Small Business Insurance. The policy has no fine print. It's clear what's covered. So while you can't see the following scene, just know that this pet store is protected by Three.
Joe, did you leave the snake tank open?
Look, I don't want to point fingers, but yes.
It's biting me! Sorry, sir! I'm calling my lawyer.
They're going to need some help with this mess. Luckily, they have Three. No fine print, just exceptional coverage. Three is a product of Berkshire Hathaway Direct Insurance Company. Three. No nonsense, just common sense.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
Folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
By the way, all these shows are podcasted. You could go to the website and you could take a look and just see what's all about right there on all our shows from noon till 6. This segment brought to you by Bumper Doc. Santee. Scratches, dings, and dents. Can't get any better than that. And Black Forest Motorsports. If you got a Porsche, BMW, or Mini, 40-plus years of experience. BlackForestAutomotive.com. And I really need to talk about Southwest Point of Sale. What a great organization. I mean, they've been around since 1975. They're San Diego-based. And it's a point of sale. And they've been selling and installing, servicing, and supporting point of sale systems to small to medium-sized groceries, merchants, restaurants throughout the Southwest. Now, what is point of sale? Well, that's when you can't find a cashier. And nobody wants to come back to work? Well, I guess what? These guys have got a system they'll put into your store. 724 backup service of all kinds, 7 days a week. And I tell you what, then you don't have to worry about somebody wanting to get a pay raise. You don't have to worry about somebody calling in sick. I know that sounds terrible. But if that's the way the public wants to be and they don't want to work for a living, then, hey, then, you know, you as a business owner, you've got to figure out a way to make it more economical for you, which in turn keeps the prices down. Southwest Point of Sale, 619-286-2100, 619-286-2100. All right, so we got Brittany in the house, and she's been screaming at me for 15 minutes. Stop talking, stop talking, stop talking, stop talking. Because it's kind of a heavy-duty motorsport day today, and she made the mistake of watching part of the Indy 500, so we're going to save that for later, because we should have a special guest on the line. That would be Andrew Kunis. Hey, Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing great here. Thanks for having me here. Yeah, I'm sitting in the pit area at Cottage Grove Speedway up here in Oregon, getting ready for night two of sprint cars and midgets here at this awesome little Cormel bullring that Brittany visited a couple of years ago.
Love that track.
Hey,
I got
a question. What is this celebrity track announcer? You go all over the place. How'd you get that gig?
Well, I call myself a fan more than anything here, I've been going to the races my whole life, and then out of high school, I did the school paper in high school and decided to use that to get into the racing, doing writing.
Smart.
At home in Washington and Oregon, doing race reports and press releases, and then about 13, 14 years ago, I had a microphone stuck in my hand, and I started announcing the races. I don't do that at every show I go to, but I still go to as many races as I can, wherever I can, and go watch and support and tell everyone about what I saw.
And when you say everywhere, listen, Dave, he's already been just this season, Arizona, Washington, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, and presently in Oregon.
Holy.
That's just this season.
So let me ask you this. Now, I've done substitute announcing for our local track here in San Diego, which unfortunately is no longer with us. We still have our dirt track, Barona, but we lost Cajon Speedway. I found it to be one of the toughest jobs I ever had because Tom McGrath, who was our original announcer, not only did he know all the drivers, he knew their families. He knew what their kids. He knew what kind of cars they drove at home. They knew where they lived. Doesn't that come to be somewhat of a little bit of a challenge? I mean, what homework do you have to do, like, for example, going to the track you're at tonight?
Well, I am the, you know, I work with two different series regularly here. My main group is the Frontier region of ASCS, the Sprint Car Series out in Montana, Wyoming. We start up here in a couple of weeks, but I'm also the part-time announcer for the Northwest Focus Midget Series. Mm-hmm. That races are mostly in Washington here. So I know a lot of the race teams already.
Okay.
But I always, but at the start of the year, I always go car to car in the Perry. I want to do a good job. I want to know what I'm talking about. So I always go car to car and get everyone's info, but every night before the race is there, I have my notes from before, but I always go check in on everyone.
Good idea.
And I do the exact same thing when I fill in somewhere. About once a year, I'll fill in at Wenatchee. I filled in for a regular show at a Big Sky Speedway in Montana and Sheridan Speedway in Wyoming last year. But I showed up extra early here, and I made sure to get to every single car I could get to. So I put a face to a name here because I'm not going to try and insult the crowd here and wing it or whatever here. I care. And these guys, they put a lot of time and effort into their cars, and they have sponsors there. I want to try and get their sponsors out as much as possible here because the sponsors help pay the bills on these things,
yes,
especially these sprint cars and that cost money here. And then I do some dwarf car stuff too, as Brittany knows.
Sure.
I was announcing that Western States National that she competed in here at Cottage Grove a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she hasn't really stopped talking about that track.
Loved that track. It was so hooked up. We had an hour and a half rain delay, and it led to just perfect conditions. I even thanked the track owner or promoter. I remember walking straight up to him, and they said, "We can't promise that for tomorrow."
Heather Boyce has done a fantastic job promoting this racetrack, and Brian Crockett, who's a former sprint car champion in Northern California, he's the main track prep guy here, and he does a great job. In fact, he's out on the racetrack right now watering it there. I'm looking at the racetrack right now from the pit area. And, we had a great show here last night with the Northwest Focus Midgets. Nick Evans picked up his fifth overall win of the year, and this was the fifth show that I announced for the series last night, and it was the fourth main event that went caution free here. That they were done in 7 minutes, 25
seven
laps done
minutes.
In 7 minutes here.
Wow.
That's all. I saw you made mention of that on Facebook, and that's what I was wondering. Is it the track conditions, the guys just all clean drivers? Was it, I mean, it just all came together.
That's awesome.
That group there, my colleague Caleb Hart, the longtime announcer at Skagit Speedway in Washington, he nicknamed them the greatest support series on dirt there. You know, the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars call themselves the greatest show on dirt. Well, the Northwest Focus Midgets are the greatest support show on dirt. And they got a history of just running, being reliable here to put on a good, clean show, get their laps in, and not, they know that they're a support class and they embrace it there. And they take pride in not being a pain in the butt for the tracks they go to. And the two main events that were on the track before us, they had a lot of problems, and they took a lot of time here, and we were starting to run way late, and we go out there, and we bust out 25 straight laps under green. We're done
25.
7 minutes there, which is exactly what the track needed here, and they were thrilled with that. But, it was a good show. Nick Evans was our winner last night. Limited sprint cars were running here last night. Tyler Thompson cleaned house here. He kicked everyone's butts and picked up the win on his home track last night.
That's always fun.
Yeah, that's always good. Yeah, you love that. Are you starting to see car counts increasing as well as fans?
A lot of the tracks here in Oregon are starting to have fans. They had a pretty decent crowd here last night at Cottage Grove. And then my home track, Skagit Speedway here, Washington just allowed 50% capacity for outdoor racing venues. And Skagit, I don't know if you've ever seen Skagit Speedway there, but they can put 10,000 people in the place for big shows here. So I saw the crowd for their Memorial weekend show here in fireworks here, and they had, you know, a great crowd for a weekly show here. I think they had, I think they sold the max 5,000 here.
Wow.
And awesome. I saw they had a great crowd here. So yeah, things are on their way back to normal after all the wildness and craziness of the past year and change here, but it's a step in the right direction. It was, yeah, real nice crowd here for what was allowed last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trending in the right direction up here. Montana, where I'll be in a couple of weeks to start up the ASCS Frontier Region season. They're pretty much open back up over there. And, you know, they love their sprint cars in Montana. They're
sure.
expecting a full house at both Gallatin Speedway outside of Bozeman and then Big Sky Speedway right outside of Billings on the 11th and 12th of June here.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, if you ever get into the San Diego area, let us know. We'd love to get you in studio, and we do nothing but talk racing right here on Racer Radio, bud. Take care.
Take
All right,
care,
thanks
Andrew.
For having me.
My pleasure.
All right, bye.
Our pleasure, actually. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. I don't know. Dirt Duke call in? Nah. So we got something to talk about.
We always have something to
Racer
talk about.
Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back to Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford. And by the way, El Cajon Ford has plenty of inventory. They were smart. They knew what to do up front. And they got tons of cars. And a lot of it's due to their customer satisfaction award and the fact that they have sold so many cars. So if you're looking for a Ford product, new or used, El Cajon Ford has it. And if you're looking for used, you can't beat that either, because they don't go to the auction. They send to the auction their cars that don't meet their standards. And 80% of their trade-ins are from the customers that buy new cars. So check out El Cajon Ford at ElCajonMotors.com. Hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line.
Dirt
How you doing,
Dude.
Budski?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Just living the dream.
Living
what are you up to?
Just enjoying the day, getting ready to have a tri-tip go on for the day make it a special day, I guess.
Yeah, just nice. Kicking back, relaxing. You deserve it. Go ahead, kid.
So did you find out a little more? Oh, sorry. Did you have more to say, Dirt Dude?
No, I just followed it. It's like my midday break from Indy to go into NASCAR now.
And,
yeah, I was like seeing how everyone was doing for the weekend. We had people going out of town all over the place because we
yes.
were off this weekend.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I was following a few different people. Before you get into that, because I wanted to make sure we gave a little shout out. Did you find out more? So Dave, Dirt Dude and I were talking a little yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They were working on the Barona racetrack yesterday and maybe even today.
I did see
picking through rocks and stuff.
Yeah, what's that? We guys did some, did Brent hide a $100 bill out there and you guys had to go look for it?
Did you find out
I'm
more?
Not sure. I'm not sure how many truckloads, but they brought truckloads of clay back up to the track. And from what I could see, it looks like they dug out 1, 2, 3, and 4. So it's just going in the corners probably about the time you start picking up the front straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole corner, they're doing everything from the top and then working their way back down to the bottom. They're putting a new the surface
berm,
of dirt in.
A new berm?
Well, I guess they're putting a new couple of inches if they get like 6 inches in there of new clay.
Did it
and
look
they have to
me
go through and groom it all and everything?
Was there a lot of rocks? Because it looks like there was a lot of rocks they were digging up.
It's hard to tell with clay because clay will break up into that like ball, like clumps. But yeah, they've been going through it and sifting through it, and so I'm sure probably because the next race is on the 10th, right?
Yeah, I believe the 12th.
The 12th?
I believe
okay.
so.
Let me
Dave's
check.
Dave's going to look at his calendar. Well, I got to say, I really appreciate because that's real good use of time. Mm. We're not going to race. We're going to cancel the races, but we're still working on the racetrack.
The 12th.
Whoever decided that, whoever's idea that was.
Yeah, because
you're getting double thumbs up from this
Because it won't
gal.
Do it itself.
Yeah, it's not going to do it itself. And, I mean, I just think that was incredible use of time. So yeah. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah. But it's hard because in our off season is winter, too. So, like,
yeah.
You really can't get anything up there. So, I mean, to take a break during the middle of the season just to bring in more dirt and you know, do more prep to the track, you know, that's always going to be great. Yeah. Especially because the next thing's coming up, you know, we have a couple big races on the 12th. We're bringing back sprint cars again, 360 sprint cars. And then the 10th is going to be a good race. And then I think we're working towards that 24th. Of July,
oh,
and that's
yeah.
going to be
big
that
race.
Big INCA race.
Yes.
Like everything.
That's July 24th, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to have some people come in. I'm in contact to really tell us more about that
Good.
Big July 24th.
Yeah, that should be huge. No, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, the purse has already gotten pretty good on that. I mean, like, they're talking 2,000 now and, like, you know, over 1,000 for each IMCA division, which is good.
Wow. That's huge.
So we had Amanda Robertson last week, and I think she might even be coming to race at the track,
mm-hmm.
like her in the car.
Well, you know, that's what
excited.
I think.
Excited.
Dirt Dude hit it right on the head. I mean, the purses have got to be up there to get, you know, the quality drivers to come into into Barona. Don't you agree?
Well, that's what draws them in. I mean, they're willing to travel up there if it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if they're not going to make any money.
But if you offer, if you get like $1,000 or $1,500 to win, then these guys that are like, you know, pretty far away are like, hey, it's worth the trip because mm-hmm. there's a chance I could win that $15. Or are they going to go there thinking, yeah, I could win $15 and that pays for everything?
Sure.
Chances are, you know, you might have a bad weekend and it's going to cost you everything.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know as well as I do, you just watch the Indy race. Anything can happen. How would you like to be Ray Hall's tire changer?
I'm sure he is never going to live that down. And then it's like, dude, we were winning the race. We could have won that race and one mistake. It shows you just like one mistake, how crucial that is.
Yeah. I mean, Brittany scared Steve half to death.
I did scream. I did yelp. But we'll talk about that last segment, final segment, because this is the Barona segment.
I know, but I just had to throw that out
there.
Yeah,
well, because he was watching it, right?
Yeah, I know.
So did either of you or the listeners hear about Brian Brown, what he did at Cocopa?
I was going to mention that. That's one of our track people.
Exactly.
I was following like five different people at different tracks.
I know, me too. Because although Barona wasn't running, Barona racers were
Barona
racing.
Barona was running.
Yeah. So Brian.
There was, well, they had the big, the PRI or the PowerEye sprint cars, the wing sprint cars that we run in our tracks.
Yes.
They're in Missouri. And I think, I'm not sure if it's Dalton or Grant won that thing.
The Sexton boys were out
racing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of them won there. Chaz Bacco is a guy that's raced at our track once, and he races out in Arizona. He won two nights at Cocopa, and then there's Brian Brown. Brian Brown, first night, breaks a transmission, managed to get it patched together, and then breaks a power steering pump. So he's driving the main event with no power steering, manages to lead the race, and the guy that came on from the back finally got the pass on him, took the win, got disqualified. So Brian Brown won the first night with all the problems. They go through, they work on the car the whole night, the next day. New transmission, it was actually tail shaft, fixed the power steering leg, go through it, and they had more problems, but he ended up winning
another
main event that night.
He's got eight wins out of nine races.
Was strong. I mean, that one, he just kind of dominated. It was like, got out in front and checked out, and it was like, bags are packed. I'm seeing you guys. We're heading back, you know?
Yeah, don't look back. I'm leaving.
Yes.
Yeah.
I asked him about it because I asked him, was it a perfect combination of car setup, driver experience, mindset, track conditions, and a little luck? And then he reminded me, he also said, and patience.
Patience.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to do behind the wheel of a race car.
But it is
one of those things. I was watching Indy this morning. One of the things they stressed about the most, you cannot win this race on the first turn, on the first lap.
Nope.
You have to make it through the whole race.
That's right.
Yeah, there at the end.
Yeah.
So all these people that are like, I'm going to lead it right out of turn one.
Yeah.
And then they take everyone out. It's like checkers or wreckers, right?
Yeah.
I know. KUSI had me come in early this morning and They're so funny. Are there two races on today? I go, yes, there's the Indy 500 and NASCAR. What's the difference between the cars? And, I mean, I would never do it on TV, but, I mean, I said one engine's in the front, one engine's in the rear, one has a roll cage that'll completely encompass the driver, the other one doesn't.
This is the first year that I think of that they did not have three races this year.
Yeah, but didn't they normally put the Coca-Cola 600 on Saturday night and then Indy was on Sunday?
No, they did Saturday, Sunday, but Formula One Grand Prix of Monaco is always on morning, Sunday morning. And it was the week before. Yeah. Monaco was last week.
Yeah, I watched. And, you know, I got to tell you that, I mean, I was a big F1 fan, but it's just got to the point where it's just follow.
Well, they make it now that, I mean, that track is so hard to really pass on. But, like, there's no fuel anymore.
Nope.
You do tire change. There's no fuel in them. That's the full load from start to finish.
Right.
I mean, it's a high-dollar thing. I mean, that's pretty much just prestige racing.
Yeah, they're killing that. They're killing that venue, if you want my opinion. But
they're going to slowly do that to it, probably.
I think you're absolutely right. So... that's good. So did they get the track done, or they still got more to do before the next race on the 12th?
I haven't heard anymore. I know they looked like they were got it all laid in there, so they're just going to start, you know, going through it. They're going to have to blade it and then, you know, work it, file blade it, and then keep on doing that. And
are they going to have a practice on the 11th?
I hope so.
Yes.
Yes.
There's going to be a Friday practice.
Yes. I will be going to practice and then hightailing it to the first of many graduation parties.
Oh,
I already told Mom I'll be a little late.
Yeah,
Mom,
but you'll hear me coming.
Graduate number one. Yes.
That's my weekend. I'm going to be missing that race because I have graduation.
Yes.
Who's going to call?
I just have graduation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, if I may, with the minimal amount of time, 12 seconds, David Hunt, a Barona driver, I believe he was out there at Coco Paul Racing, and we had quite a few junior drivers. Oh, and Dwarf. We had Robert Peters Racing and the Dwarf, and then I think for junior we had Kelly and Bryson and little Isabella, and it was just in my head.
Right out the window. All right, buddy.
Well, hang on. The funny thing was I was watching that first day of practice, our first day of racing, and I heard Robert Peters out there. I'm like, he's on the chip. He needs a little bit of a gear change on that
thing. Yeah, he said that.
Saturday, he said he did a gear change, and that car changed 180.
Wow. Yeah, there were two just out in the front. I don't even know where the other drivers were. It looked like they only had five in the main event on Saturday. I think they only had seven, unfortunately, total.
I think there was a nationals event that they were competing with, so they didn't get a lot of cars.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something up north, too. They had a huge draw. Oh, Kenny Wallace raced a Dwarf car this weekend for the first time ever.
Oh.
Out in Colorado.
No way, really?
Yeah, because
Fred
beat him at his own track. Sorry. Glad to do that out in Colorado. He and Josh Cochran, who used to race out at Barona, those two are in Colorado now as their home. And they mentioned that Fred, he goes, there are 34 Dwarf cars, and I end up in his heat race.
Wouldn't you know it?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, it's always good talking to you. Go enjoy the rest of your day and send us some tri tip.
Yeah, enjoy.
You guys too. Have a good one. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for
all right,
calling
buddy.
In, bud.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Boy, have they got a race coming up this week. But if you've never been to Paris Auto Speedway, shame on you. That is a fun track to go to. They've got an amazing announcer. Definitely keep you up to snuff as what's going on. Throws a little comedy in there every once in a while.
Good music, too. Sorry.
And, yeah. And speaking of which, he's on the line right now, Scott Delosio.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy? Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah. Hope everybody has an enjoyable Memorial Day.
Yeah. You and me. It's not a long weekend. It's going to be an enjoyable Memorial Day weekend.
A mindful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mindful. That's the right word. Mm-hmm.
That's very mindful. So you got Night of Destruction coming up.
Oh, really?
Have you ever been?
Yeah, doing it for the second time this year. Yeah. You know, we lost a couple earlier before we could open, but doing it the second time this coming Saturday night, we'll have, you know, if you want to see Insanity on Dirt, this is where to come to see it. On this one, there's figure eight races, figure eight trailer races. We have Democross, mini stocks, which Democross is, it's a race, but it's like a demolition derby because anything goes. You know, there's only three flags in the race. Technically, there's four flags, green flag, white flag, checkered flag, and a red flag. Hopefully you don't have to use that. There's no caution flag.
Nope, no caution.
Same with the mini stocks, and then
really?
The double deckers, which we got two guys.
Double deckers at Paris next weekend?
Yeah.
Oh,
we got two
new guys. Two new guys doing that. They're special.
What?
Yeah, you have. You have to be special.
So, for anyone who hasn't seen it in person, who's driving?
Well, yeah. Explain the double deckers.
Double decker. There's two cars, one stacked on top of each other, or one stacked on top of the other car. The one in the bottom, there's a driver in each one. The one in the bottom, the driver controls the throttle and the brakes, and the one on top controls the steering wheel.
I love it.
And there's no communication.
That's what I was going to ask.
Unless
they
holler out the window.
How do they even do that?
Well, they give this big test beforehand.
Yeah. Can you write your name?
A lot of people take the test, and there is a big curve, and the people at the bottom end of the learning curve get to do it.
Yeah, right? No communication. Is this one where there's no caution flag?
Right. Oh, it's just the same thing. Green, white, checkered, and red.
Well, I'm trying to still figure out, because the steering is from the top car, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
That's a lot of heim joints.
Right?
And...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you've seen some of the rigs, it's like, oh, boy.
You mean to tell me you're not excited about taking one out?
I enjoy life.
What's common to stack on top, one on top of the other?
Yeah, big car on the bottom, little car on top?
Not really.
What?
You'd think that's the way people would go, but really, not really.
No kidding.
Again, low curve, they're racing this.
I mean, don't they tip over?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
That's
part of the show. I mean, you know, you go in a corner, one guy taps the guy in front of, and the thing will go up on the two left because they go counter or they go clockwise.
Okay, gotcha.
So they're on. You're not counterclockwise like normal. They're ending up on the two left side wheels where both the drivers are at in the car.
Yeah, added weight.
Or if they haul rear end into the corner, you know, the same thing happens. You know, they get up on the two left side wheels.
Oh my god.
Or actually, I guess you'd say four left side wheels.
Yeah, right.
Stacked on top of the other.
How many cars do you think you'll have in the race?
You know, it's still
working,
building. You know, last time we had four cars. I know there's another guy out there who built one, and he was going to have it out 2 years ago. And I asked him before the last race. It's an old sprint car driver, by the way. This is before the last race we had in April, or in May, and he said he just still had to do some minor things to it to get it ready. So should be at least four, hopefully five, if he gets that car out.
Are they racing the big half mile or in
the center? No, they're on the quarter.
Okay, in the center, because I've seen that the boat trailer thing was in the center.
Well, that's where you'll put the
boat. They're in the quarter mile. The center is the infield. They're on the quarter-mile track, which is around the center.
Oh, okay, around the center.
So you're going to put all the pits.
It's in between the big track infield center.
And the pits will be out in the pits.
Out in the back, right.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, that sounds fun. And spectators are still asked to purchase ahead of time, correct, the tickets?
Yeah, you still have to purchase tickets online at TIX.com. Hopefully only... two more shows of that. Hopefully by the time we get back to sprint cars, 3 weeks from last night, that'll all be gone. We're planning on that and hoping for that. It all depends on the county. So we'll see what happens. Same with the food. You know,
yeah, the app on for the food. I've taken notes.
The food, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's had its glitches on the way, to say the least, but it's working better and better every week.
Sure.
And, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me.
they get that thing working right. I mean, you order your food. You don't stand in line to order.
Right. You're not missing the racing.
When it's ready, you get a text, and you just run down there, grab it, and bring it back up. So we're going to keep that after we're allowed to open the concessions again. Yeah. We're going to keep that. Hopefully, it'll still work. Hopefully, enough people will still use it. And, obviously, we've always had walk-up ticket sales, and a lot of people have enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll come together. But I like being able to order your food because nothing makes me crazier. Okay, what do I want?
The person in front of you.
Do I want a hot dog or do I want a
hamburger?
And
then you hear cheering in the stands and you know you missed something.
Yeah, yeah. Makes me crazy. Makes me crazy.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. But,
yeah, I agree.
You know, to each its own. It's like everything else in the world. I mean, it's the concession company is using somebody's service.
Oh.
So there is a small service charge on the end. I think it's like 99 cents per order. So it's not that bad. I mean, don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
it's not
that
bad if it's 99 cents. And it to me, it'd be worth it rather than, you know, going up and missing two heat races waiting to stand in line to get the food.
Because that's exactly what'll happen. You'll miss two heat races. I mean, because especially when people do get in line, you know, and you know, are we doing anything as far as restricting the fans?
Oh, yeah, capacity.
What's the capacity? Have they figured
I'm not sure what it exactly is. Mm-hmm. We haven't had any issues with it yet. So, fans are still required due to the county face coverings.
Sure.
And try to get people social distance as best we can. You know, some of the crowds, it's not as easy to get everybody social distance as it is some of the other crowds just because more people come in.
Well, Night of Destruction will be an issue, I'm sure.
I know. It sounds fun. Yeah. They have lots of stands.
A lot of people go to that Night of Destruction,
it's so
man. I'm
fun.
Telling you.
That's our biggest show of the year. That's our biggest regular event is Night of Destruction.
I know.
It's the same, it's crazy because, I love racing, and especially open wheel racing and talking to people in different parts of the country, like Irwindale Speedway, Lawrenceburg Speedway in Indiana. I talk to that promoter online every so often. His biggest shows are the same deal. It's Night of Destruction.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. People like to see cars crashing.
They do.
I mean, it's just...
I don't, but lots
of
people
do.
Only when it's Night of Destruction, not when it's...
Well, no.
Open wheel sprint cars.
No. Nobody wants to see that, for sure. No, you're absolutely right.
A person off the street can come in and relate to a Night of Destruction.
Right.
easier than they can when you're running a sprint car, with... a specially built chassis and all that. I mean, that's something people don't understand. Same, late models are modified.
Right.
They can't relate to the chassis or the engine or anything like that.
Right.
Where you come to Night of Destruction, you see it's mostly, there are some race cars out there, but there's a lot of cars that aren't race cars. They're just
my mom used
street
to drive
cars
me.
That are modified for safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always tell people, back in the day when I was a kid at the school, whenever we had a fundraiser, we always brought a car in and a sledgehammer, and for like 50 cents, you could beat on the car.
Right.
And nothing raised more money than the ability to beat on a car.
It's right.
Something in us. I don't know what it is. It just gives us a way to... You never done that
I've
before?
I've never even heard of that, but I can see how people would definitely pay for that.
Awesome.
I would imagine the glass is already removed.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Well, the challenge is to see if you can find any glass, because that was what I always used to do.
There was never glass.
They never took the instrumentation cluster out, so there was always a little tinkle, tinkle, tinkle.
That's funny.
And then they would look up, what is that? But you can raise
being
a lot of...
a native.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you could raise a lot of money with a program like that.
Being a native of Detroit, I'd only participate if it was a foreign car.
Oh, my gosh.
not to digress, but at our auto show here in town, Mark Maynard, who's the editor of the wheels section, he used to go down to a wrecking yard and get the wrecking yard to crush a car into a cube.
Right.
And then you had to decide what kind of car it was.
That's funny, too.
Yeah.
Is that a fundraiser?
That was a fundraiser.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And you should see people, they're looking and crawling around, and that's all cool. fact, a buddy of mine, I was over at his place, and he was at a wrecking yard, and there was a Mustang Shelby GT500, and it was just the body. It was, it had been wrecked pretty bad. So he paid the
wreck pretty bad, or everything else was stolen.
Well, that too. So he paid the wrecking yard to make it into a cube, and he's going to make a coffee table out of it.
Oh my goodness, that's a true story.
That's a true story.
Oh, I like that story.
I thought of you too. I thought of you too. Forest green, you know, white G. The way they crushed it, the white GT 500 was perfect, right at the bottom right corner of this block.
That's art.
That's art.
I had a friend with a very successful super modified back in the 1970s out here on the West Coast. Actually, they took it back and won races all over the country with it. And when they retired that car, the guy who owned it had it cubed, and it was his coffee table.
My gosh, I've
no
never heard
kidding.
Of this
who would? Now, I don't know if I'd cube a race car unless I ruined it. But
Well, I'll tell you, the driver's name's Wally Pancrash.
Ah! Okay.
He won a bunch of races in that car, and the owner had it cubed and turned into
a
coffee
table.
Jeez.
I'm going to take my seat out of my car because I'm sure the next owner, and not anytime soon, will not be running a youth seat, and I want to make a rocking chair out of it.
Oh, is that what you're going to do? I thought you were going to tell me you're going to crush your car.
Not
going to
crush my car. No.
No,
they
no
did that
crushing
with Jim Naylor at the Ventura Raceway at Turkey Night.
Yeah.
The last one they had, or 2 years before, it was for his birthday. And they took a racing seat and made him a special rocking chair. And by the way, speaking of Ventura, the greatest news going on in SoCal right now.
What?
They reopen this coming Saturday night.
Yay!
Finally. Is Cruzman going to be able to start his classes up here pretty soon?
He's been doing them all along.
Has he really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're not allowed. Fans aren't coming
right.
in for it.
It's not people when they're in the car with a helmet on. They're better than a mask.
Well, that's good to know. All right, cool.
Good news.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, get out there and start barbecuing.
Yeah, you got it. Want to see everybody Saturday night, Paris Auto Speedway. Gates open 5. Insanity starts at 7.
You got it, buddy. We can't
like
wait to see you.
Great show.
All right, man. Take care, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great. Bye.
Take care.
All right, folks. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Absolutely. Certified Car Clinic. Can't get any better than certified. Not only will he work on it, but he'll throw it on a dyno and show you what he's done. Also, they have hose specialties there that they can trick out the underhood of your car, put all those braided lines on. And they might even give you a CD of Sprung Monkey. You never know. Stranger. I always know when it's Sprung Monkey.
No, this isn't. I was That's just not enjoying it. Yeah, I was just, he saw me enjoying it.
Well, you're dancing, so I'm thinking, it's got to be
Sprung Monkey.
True,
I get Sprung live show tomorrow. Well, private.
Sprung Monkey's going to do a show?
It's private show.
Well, how can there be a show if it's private?
Well, somebody hired him for their birthday.
Oh, yes. So we all can't go to the birthday.
Correct.
I gotcha. All right, so now can we talk motorsports?
Now we can talk all the Indy you want, because that was incredible. I'm glad you watched it. Part of me was like, I hope Dave's watched it so we can talk about it.
Yeah,
whether
yeah,
it's
yeah.
on air or off air, I wanted to talk to you about
it. Yeah, no, I like I said, I have it on. I didn't get to hear the volume.
Oh, you were watching here.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
Right, yeah.
I watched the first little bit of it. Before I left, you know, because I walked it from 10 to 11, and then from 11 on, I had to bail. The kids are coming on. The kids are taking over.
You say that when a 46-year-old wins.
I know.
Fourth oldest in history.
Yeah, you say that, and did you hear his acceptance? Well, I don't
know. Well, all I know,
speech,
see, I've interviewed Helio Castroneves many times.
You have?
Oh, he's
he so like over the top?
Over the top. He's just another John Force.
Yeah,
he's another John
Force. So he's a crier. Wait, no, I didn't see him cry.
No,
I've seen John Force cry.
I think he cried today.
He was so emotional.
He was burying his head in a lot of shoulders.
I was thinking that. I go, I can tell who's really important to him because he like just rammed his head into him like a cat does into their owner.
And you know why that is?
No.
Because he has been a Penske driver for years.
Why? Yeah, they just dropped him. Like
they kicked him out. First they kind of let him go drive sports cars, and then they kind of let him go sit in the corner of the building.
I know.
And they didn't really say, hey, you know, we're going to, you know, they just almost put him in a position to
where he was going to quit.
On his own.
Yeah.
And he got hired by, and I can't think of the name.
Like not full season.
No, just half season. Yeah. And so he was blessed at his age to be able to run the Indy 500. But with his passion and his talent.
And he still has the ability.
He still has
the passion.
Dude, circling the Indianapolis 500 at 200 plus miles an hour.
Yeah.
For 500 laps. I mean, you could appreciate that. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
You got the air, you got the wind, you got the track, you got the tires, you got so many things that want to stuff you into the wall.
That's a long time.
And it's a long, you know how come it's 500 miles?
Why is it 500 miles, Dave?
Because the promoters back in 1911.
That's when the first one?
That was the first one. And by the way, the very first race was a hot air balloon race. Followed... and your dad would appreciate this, a motorcycle race.
Oh.
And then the Indy cars. So, but the 500 miles, so it would start in the morning and end in the afternoon during the daytime.
Yeah, I heard it was like 7 hours.
Top speed, 75 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
In 96, the Indy race was 2 hours and 40 minutes with an average speed of 186.
I heard 223. They mentioned somebody that had gone 223 today.
Yeah. They did say that the average speed was the fastest in Indy 500 history, which is 190.6 miles per hour.
Yeah, so. it outdid the race that back in 96. And Ari Leyendyke refused milk.
I'm upset. That's such a nitpicky thing.
But you know,
I always have
it?
To do buttermilk every year. That's how you should do it. But instead, you got 2% guys. You also had one guy that was almond milk.
You drink buttermilk?
No, I hate buttermilk. But you have to go with tradition.
I would because of the tradition, and it's not that bad. They gave him pink milk today.
Unless you want to see me hurl across the parking lot.
I know. I'm with you. But again, it's traditional. That's the way I view it.
But Ari was a orange grower in Bolivia or someplace where he's from. So he decided, hey, I'm just going to drink orange juice, you know. The Milk Foundation went freaking bananas.
Well,
so he had to come back. He had to drink a glass of milk.
Because the dairy was part of it, the sponsorship,
right?
See, yeah.
Where are you located? Right there in the middle of dairy country?
Yeah.
So I that's what I did on KUSI this morning. I decided to go trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And A.J. Foyt. Unser, and who was the third one? We're all four-time winners.
Yeah.
Now Helio's a four-time winner.
He is, I know. And they were saying with his ability and passion, you know he's going to go for five.
Oh, he'll run till he can't run anymore.
I thought it was nice the Penske guys came up to him.
Because...
Rick Mears, by the way.
Rick Mears, thank you very much.
Good job, Brendan.
Yeah, he's a good kid. But, you know...
Keep him.
But stop and think about it, because, you know, let's face it, the Penske decision was the Penske decision. It wasn't the team's decision. It was corporate. It was management.
The whole, as best you can. Don't you imagine it personal.
Can you imagine having Helio Castroneves on your side? I mean, on your team? Mr. Happy, Mr. Bubbly.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see how far he ran? He just kept running.
And he climbed the fence.
Well, he's Spider-Man. Right?
Well, he hasn't climbed the fence in a long time.
Well, he hasn't had 09, I think, was the last time he won.
I was impressed he could still do it.
Look at the guy. I mean, he looked fit. Again, adrenaline never hurts.
Never hurt.
But did you hear him towards the end? Steve caught it because I heard him mention Tom Brady, but I didn't hear him mention Mickelson. He's all, and then himself, he's all, old guy still got it.
Well, and he sure, funny. But that's going to do wonders for his career.
Absolutely. Well, they said he's not full time and he's got a lot to prove.
And he's driving a pink car.
He looked good in it.
But he's driving a pink car. I mean, that's the challenge in itself.
There's a lot of pink these days.
You notice
a lot more, yes.
A lot more than normal.
Who's the Cajon guy? Gay. Didn't he always have pink?
Oh.
Wait, who always
Jerry.
Had pink? Jerry Gay.
Jerry Gay.
Yes.
Well, Jerry Gay could do it because he'll punch you in the face otherwise.
Well,
I see him at breakfast all the time. He's an absolute hoot. I'll buy him breakfast. What'd you do that for? Shut up. But yeah, Jerry used to do it. But yeah, Jerry likes to stir the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon Creed.
Tell me.
Finally got a sponsor Friday night.
Yeah. Oh, so his car's not just blank
no,
white truck now?
No, it's
what
not.
Do you get? Who do you get? Let's help him out. Who's sponsoring?
I'm trying to think.
Need to it's know,
orange,
Brendan.
Orange and blue. But he didn't. He got taken out. Not something that he did, but he got taken out by accident. So he didn't.
Well, that does happen. I mean, we were talking off air about the guy losing his
Ty Gibbs.
Yes.
The coach's grandson.
Yes.
He won in the Xfinity race.
Oh.
With a totally black race car.
No sponsors. Again, are you getting that? Well,
it says here, by the way, liftkitsforless.com.
That's it. Lift kits.
Is for Sheldon Creed?
Yeah. Lift kits.
Thank you, liftkitsforfree.com. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Our local boy.
For less.
For less, you can't give it for free.
Yeah.
Why people be emailing
money.
Like crazy?
Well, they won't have money to sponsor.
Yeah, Lift Kits for Less.
Thank you, Lift Kits for Less, for sponsoring our local boy who is a great driver behind anything.
Needs to throw some money at
he can
guy.
Do well in anything.
Okay, so how would you like to be the tire changer on Mr. Ray Hall's car?
Has he already lost his job?
Let's see.
How long ago
would
did
you
that
fire
happen?
Him?
No, I wouldn't personally.
Because you don't think he's not beating himself?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Should there be any consequence, or is he so
really?
Hard on himself?
Okay.
I'm just asking. Should there be
do
any
Do you think there should be? If you were the owner of the team.
I mean, accidents do happen. I mean, you definitely want to look into what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I would talk to him, and, I mean, did he cross-thread it? And did you hear the rumor that NASCAR is going to do a single nut? Real wheel replacement
after this race? Are they still going to? Are they still going to after this race?
Probably not. But somebody told me that they were going to do a single.
And this is all for time.
Yeah, it's all for time.
But I mean, if everybody has to do all the same amount,
but NASCAR, part of the mystique and part of the challenge is five lug nuts.
I say stick with five. If everyone has to do five,
well,
I
think so too.
Is it so the whole race is 2 minutes less?
Have you tried to change a tire at high speed with an air gun?
Not at high speed, no.
Because we've done a lot of military training, and we bring a NASCAR in, and we do tire changing competition.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy hitting those lug nuts.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see that whole orchestrated team. Did you see everyone coming in backwards, everyone losing their brakes coming into the pit row? A couple people, they were thinking maybe they were setting the pads a little bit further away. I heard that just in passing, one of the commentators.
Yeah.
Wow, like a couple guys.
I know.
One came in backwards.
Yep, a lot of them came in backwards.
Yeah.
All right, kiddo. Well, hey, it's always fun having you on air.
Thanks, Dave. I have a good time.
I know. So go home and start painting.
I did. I painted a race stripe on my house.
I can't wait.
I really did.
Have you got 37 on the garage door?
It's inside my garage all over. My old panels are up.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Gun Sports Radio's in the wings on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.